Tonight we begin a new series of lessons for the next few Sunday nights that I'm calling Daily Pursuits. And I want us to look at some things that you and I as Christians need to be diligently working on every single day. For our first lesson tonight, I want us to think about godly character. Now, for the past several Wednesday nights, we've been studying character based on the characters of Hebrews chapter 11. May possibly be a little bit of overlap here, but I'm not going to let this sermon go on all that long, and so we won't have time to cover everything that we've looked at in Hebrews chapter 11. In all seriousness, I believe there are some things that we need to give daily, diligent attention to in the development of godly character. Definition of character, according to dictionary.com, is the aggregate of features and traits that form the individual nature of a person. We have consolidated that or sort of cut that up and simplified it, and we've said around here for the last little while that basically character is who we are. It's who we are. Godly character would be who we are spiritually speaking. The text we're going to study is, of course, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Actually, I'm going to begin at verse 11 because that starts the paragraph. This is a passage that has, for most of our time, been associated with young people, and we rarely turn over there to this passage unless we're studying a lesson directed at the young folks. And while Paul does make reference to Timothy's youth, he tells him things that young folks and old folks alike need to do and put into practice. And so let's pay attention to what God's Word tells us regarding godly character. In verse 11, Paul says, command and teach these things. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, and faith, and purity. Until I come, give attention to reading, to teaching, or to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the teaching. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourselves and those who hear you. Tonight, I want us to look at three questions that I believe are generated by this text. The first question that we need to figure out an answer to based on what God's Word says is, why should I be concerned for character? The world essentially says that character is not really important. I remember back in the 1990s, especially regarding some of the politics that were going on and some of the characters of our political world in the United States. And I remember the question coming up again and again, do we or should we really be concerned about character? And the consensus of opinion was, no, character really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if our president, or it doesn't matter if our leaders in Congress don't appear to have good character, as long as they're doing a good job, as long as they're leading the country the way it needs to go, as long as they're getting the job done, character doesn't matter. But we all know that we paid a price for that kind of attitude. And we've seen a swing in the other direction, I believe, in the past few years, at least among a lot of people, coming around to the idea that, well, you know, character is important. The way that our leaders conduct themselves, the things that they do, the reputations that they have that reflect upon our reputation as a nation of people, well, maybe that is pretty important after all. God says character is important. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, Paul says that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. And then listen to what the psalmist said. In Psalm 119, verse 1, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. That's the English Standard Version. Notice what the New Century Version says in that translation. Happy are those who live pure lives, who follow the Lord's teachings. Character is important. Character defines lives. Our character defines our lives. Hence, we've got that definition that we've come up with. Character is who you are. Now, it's important that we understand that godly character doesn't necessarily have to, it doesn't involve perfection. You don't have to be perfect to be of godly character. And while character is not necessarily defined by a single act or a solitary blip on the radar screen of our behavior, isolated incidents do hold the potential for being seen as character flaws in our lives, particularly if everything else we're doing is not of such nature that it'll overcome those glaring errors and flaws and mistakes. For example, we may sometimes say that a particular action or a particular behavior for someone is out of character for that person. It appears that they've done or said something that they just, normally we just wouldn't ever think they would ever say that or they wouldn't ever do that. We say, well, that really was out of character for him. Well, you know, none of us are perfect, and there's not a single one of us that goes a single day without making a mistake. So long as those mistakes don't become the consistent pattern of our behavior, then most folks wouldn't remember us for those errors that we make from time to time. But this one thing is certain. Sin leaves scars. And sin that is harbored, repeated, sin that characterizes our behavior leaves some very bold marks on us. And even when we have overcome that sin and moved on with our lives, there will in all likelihood be times when someone somewhere will be able to dig up some evidence of that character flaw. No, godly character doesn't involve perfection. But it's very important that we make sure that the godliness in our lives is such that it overcomes the mistakes that we make and the flaws that we all have. You know, I could illustrate it like this. Tell me what comes to mind when I say these names. Monica Lewinsky. Richard Nixon. John Edwards. Bernie Madoff. You see, it is entirely possible to be remembered for an isolated thing that is known, especially when that isolated thing that's publicly known seems to be characteristic of our general behavior all of the time. Our character defines who we are. That's why it's important to be concerned about character. Question number two. What will godly character accomplish? Let me suggest four things to you. Number one, godly character will give strength to your words. One of the things that Paul mentioned over and over in writing to Timothy in this letter and And in the other letter that he wrote to Timothy, and the one that he wrote to the young man Titus, seems to be touching on some of the same subjects again and again. And one of the things that Paul mentioned over and over was a matter of teaching. Teaching. Some translations render the word doctrine. Your teaching, Paul said, is very important. The things that you say. The message that you're trying to get across. In fact, in this brief paragraph that we just read a few minutes ago, Paul mentioned teaching specifically three times. The last couple of weeks on Sunday night, we've discussed a couple of lessons entitled Talk the Talk and Walk the Walk. And we discovered that talking is very important and saying the right things is critical, but if you're not going to walk the walk, then your talk isn't going to be meaningful. People are not going to pay any attention to what you say if what you live and how you do is in contrast with what you say. Our character, which is illustrated by our behavior, validates the words that we say. Here's another thing that godly character will accomplish in our lives. Godly character will make up for inadequacies in other areas of our lives. Now, make sure you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that if you are an adulterer, as long as you'll be kind and humble, it'll make up for that. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that, as I said before, all of our lives have mistakes, problems, errors, faults, and flaws. If godly character is present in our lives, it'll help us to overcome those other things. Paul mentions it specifically, making this point in verse 12 when he told Timothy, "Don't let anyone despise you because you're a young man, but be sure you give an example of what a real Christian is supposed to be in these things." In other words, because of your youth, some folks are not going to take you seriously. Make sure that the way you live will overcome their suspicion of the fact that you're such a young man to be in a leadership position. Age and ability are two things that we do not have any control over. But the traits of godly character and spiritual maturity are things that we can strive for that will help us to overcome the inadequacies of youth or even lack of ability. Even a bad reputation can eventually be displaced by the cultivation of godly character. The Bible is full of illustrations of that very point. Saul of Tarsus is remembered to us as the Apostle Paul. John, one of the two sons of Zebedee, they were referred to in their younger days as the sons of thunder because they were evidently very rash and very prone to quick, unthinking action. What do we remember the Apostle John for? Well, we call him the Apostle of Love. You see, there are two illustrations from the Scriptures of people who at one time had a reputation for some unsavorable qualities, but because of the application of the principles of godliness and righteousness, they're known now more for the good things than the bad things. Godly character gives others an example to follow. When we claim to be God's people and yet there is nothing about our lives that others can imitate, there is something badly wrong. We need to take to heart the lesson that Jesus taught about salt and light in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Because our influence is a very important thing. And godly character will help us to develop that influence for what it needs to be. A good example is never going to take the place of anything else, but it will certainly serve to validate what we say and what we claim. Now, the fourth thing that we need to understand along this line is that the growth of godly character in our lives needs to be obvious. In other words, if it's not seen, it's not happening. That's basically what Paul told Timothy in verse 15 that we read a few minutes ago. Practice these things, devote yourself to them, so that all may see your progress. Progress in godliness and in with godly character is something that needs to be evident. It needs to be remarkable. Remarkable doesn't mean astounding or outstanding as we sometimes use it today. It means that which catches the attention, that which can be observed and seen. If it's not seen, it's not happening. Question number three, what are some of the traits of godly character? In the text that we read, particularly verse 12, Paul gives Timothy a list. Not an exhaustive list, but definitely a list with a logical pattern. Paul says, be an example to the believers. Number one, in speech. In speech. James chapter 3, verse 8 suggests that perhaps our largest challenge, definitely one of our greatest challenges, is to control our tongues. The control of the tongue in a Christian needs to be done in three very important ways. Number one, it needs to be done proactively. I guess maybe the proper term would be preactively. What I mean by that is, make sure of your words before you say them. Control your tongue in that you say the words that are correct at the right time. That's the second thing. We should control our tongues actively. Say the right words at the right time for the right purpose. Number three, we should control our tongues passively. What I mean by that is there are times when we need to remain silent. We need to let others do the talking when we have nothing constructive to say. Be an example in speech. Another trait of godly character is conduct. In James chapter 3, verse 13, James says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Now, there are two very important things about conduct. First of all, conduct shows what's on the inside of us. The content of the heart is evident in the conduct of life. Secondly, conduct determines what others think of us, generally. In fact, the most lasting impressions that we make on other people come not from what we say, but more often from what we do, how we conduct ourselves, how we behave. Peter said in 1 Peter 2, verse 12, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Another trait of godly character, Paul says, is love. Colossians 3, verse 14 says, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. We know all about love, don't we? Let me read you some things that I found that were spoken by some 4, 5, and 6-year-olds on the subject of love. Chrissy, age 6, says, love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you anything of theirs. Billy, age 4, says, when somebody loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. Terry, age 4. Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. Danny, age 7. This is my favorite. Love is when somebody hurts you and you get so mad, but you don't yell at them because you know it'll hurt their feelings. Lauren, age 4, said, "I know my big sister loves me because she gives me all her old clothes and has to go out and buy new ones." Elaine, age 5, said, "Love is when Mom gives Dad the best piece of chicken." Love is an element of godly character. Faith. I believe the essence of faith is revealed in the words of Paul as he stood on the deck of a ship that was about to be bashed to pieces in a terrible storm in Acts chapter 27, verse 25. Here's what he said. "Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told." It will turn out exactly as I have been told. That's what faith is all about. And the last one is, of course, purity. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God our Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." There is an aspect of this world which is under the control of Satan, the god of this world. And it seeks every avenue to pollute our lives. And so the child of God must guard his eyes, his ears, and his affections, as we seek to maintain the purity that God demands. As Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, keep yourself pure. These are just a few of the elements of godly character, which is so important. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, we'll look at another one of those things that we need to have on our list of daily pursuits. If you're not a child of God this evening, there's no better time than right now to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus as God's Son, if you're willing to repent and turn away from sin, if you'll confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and be baptized, your sins will be washed away. If you've already done that but have become unfaithful, turn away from your unfaithfulness and rededicate yourself to His service. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.